Okay, let me turn on this little recorder. I was charging it, and I just did a test to make sure that that it should be working. What are the dangers of too much sugar consumption?
Well, there's a lot of dangers. First of all, obesity, type 2 diabetes, and something called non-alcoholic fatty liver syndrome, which is a liver disease. Those are three big ones.
So, obesity, type 2 diabetes, and what?
Non-alcoholic fatty liver syndrome. It's liver disease.
Okay, so is that what they usually say about alcoholics, that they're...
Well, they have alcoholic fatty liver syndrome. This is non-alcoholic.
Can you say a little bit more about non-alcoholic fatty liver disease?
Yeah, well, it's the problem that people have when they're alcoholics, and it's deteriorating the liver. Mm-hmm. The same thing happens if you have too much sugar. Slightly different way that we'd have to get real technical into the chemical aspects of it, but it's the same concept, and they just differentiate it between a non-alcoholic and alcoholic.
Okay, second question. How does a person develop addiction to sugar?
Well, sugar is addicting, first of all, because we have a dopamine response to it, which is it's releasing a chemical in our brain which makes us feel good. So by consuming a small amount of sugar, we produce a soothing, calming dopamine response. And over time, the amount of sugar consumed will need to be increased to keep giving you the same dopamine response. And that's one of the reasons that people take drugs, because they get a dopamine response. So it's the same type of concept.
What are the signs of sugar addiction in others?
Well, again, of course, it varies, but you'll see somebody who feels very calm after consuming excessive sugar instead of what we're used to, where the kids are bouncing off the ceiling. All of a sudden, the person feels calm. Someone who constantly craves sugary snacks and drinks. They consume certain foods even though they're not hungry because of the cravings. They worry about cutting down on certain foods, but they don't. They feel sluggish or fatigued from overeating. They have whole health or social problems, you know, that affect school or work, depending on their age, because of food issues, yet they keep doing it. And they need more and more of the foods they crave to experience any pleasure or to reduce the negative emotions from it.
How can you tell if you have a sugar addiction? What should you be on the lookout for or avoid?
Well, if you find yourself craving sugar and caffeine, sometimes they go hand in hand frequently, then a sugar addiction may be present. And the best thing to do is to go cold turkey and avoid what we call the opiate receptor triggers. So you have to avoid things like simple sugars, gluten, and dairy, and that'll help reduce the physical addiction. And a physical addiction could usually be broken in about 3 days. A diet that incorporates complex carbohydrates, healthy fats, and proteins is ideal for that.
Complex carbohydrates, healthy fats, and proteins.
Correct.
But give me some examples.
Well, a complex carbohydrate is like a baked potato.
Okay.
Well, better than that, a sweet potato. Healthy fats are like guacamole. And protein is a meat, a chicken, a fish.
Lean, though, right?
Of course.
Okay. How easy is it to become addicted to sugar? Does it start elsewhere, such as drinking too much or always having dessert?
No, it's like getting addicted to anything else. It's because of that dopamine response, because it makes them feel good. So they could get addicted to it in a relatively short period of time, in a matter of a few weeks. And, you know, some people say it's more addictive than cocaine. And it's constantly available, and it's in almost everything that we eat. So what you'll see in a lot of the addiction recovery centers is the addicts switch drugs for food addictions, you know, like mostly sugar, but gluten or dairy. And they're just transposing one addiction for the other to keep the opiate receptors stimulated.
Hmm. how long does it take to be, or did, yeah.
Yeah, how long,
does it take? A few weeks?
Yeah, a few weeks is all you need. Like over the holidays, you could do it where the cravings for sugary are increased. And it'll give you different fluctuating energy levels and fluctuate blood sugar. And then there's emotional ties to it, especially during the holidays. But it gives you the ups and downs, and that changes somebody's emotions also from fluctuating levels of blood sugar.
Talk about the emotional issues for a minute.
Well, it affects people differently. But if you have fluctuating levels of both insulin, because they usually go hand in hand, and sugar, it gives you highs and lows. And when it gives you highs and lows, that affects your emotions. Now, you could get real jittery, real anxious. Some people, it affects them differently, and they get depressed. But it definitely can take over a period of time an emotional toll on people.
How long does it take to overcome addiction to sugar or sugary foods?
You could overcome the physical addiction in just a few days. The mental or emotional addiction varies with people, and that's where you need probably counseling and a good therapist.
So the emotional aspects of addiction to sugar might take...
Yeah, it could definitely take weeks.
Weeks to months?
Yeah, even months, you know, depending on how long they've been doing it. But the physical addiction itself, you could get rid of in just a few days.
Right. Okay, is sugar addiction hereditary, and is there a genetic component to it like alcoholism?
No, not really. If a child grew up in a home that uses food as an emotional crutch or as a reward or system, they're more likely to develop food disorders or a sugar addiction as an adult, but it's not really a hereditary.
Okay. How specifically does sugar consumption boost cravings for more sweet foods and drinks?
You know, me and you have spoke about this before, but what sugar does, one of the things that it does is it stimulates the opiate receptors. When the opiate receptors are stimulated, they release chemicals that gives us cravings. Whatever you're addicted to is what the body assumes those cravings are for. So if you're addicted to sugar, every time you have sugar, you're stimulating the opiate receptors and it's saying it wants more and it's giving you a craving for it. So it'll just keep stimulating it and repeat the process.
Okay. How much sugar lurks in alcohol?
It's very surprising. I was surprised at this, but there's really not that much sugar that lurks in alcohol, except for like the mixed drinks, and I'll give you some examples. Like wine contains about 4 carbs per serving and 1 or 2 grams of sugar. Beer, in a, I think they use a 7-ounce glass as the serving size, has 12 carbs and 0.5 pounds of sugar. And regular distilled spirit...
Half what of sugar?
0.5 gram of sugar.
Okay.
Which is...
I said 0.5 pound.
Oh, I might have.
Oh, jeez.
Distilled spirits, they have very little... some of them have 0 carbs and sugar. Where they get it from is like the mixed drinks, and it's not from the alcohol itself. It's from what they're mixing with it, juices and soda and different things like that, and that's where they're getting the sugar from. But alcohol has a funny effect on the body when you take it in. So alcohol actually metabolizes, which means it breaks down as a fat and some carbohydrates, not really sugar. But what it does is alcohol consumption slows down the body's ability to metabolize fat efficiently. So what it also does, contrary to most foods and what most people think, is when you have alcohol, it actually has a lowering effect on blood sugars, and alcohol's metabolism in the body blocks the liver's release of the blood sugar regulating hormones. And this could cause low blood sugar or hypoglycemia, especially individuals with diabetes. And then when they feel like they have low blood sugar from the alcohol, then it could cause cravings for the sweets. So it's a double-edged sword. But alcohol by itself actually lowers blood sugar and can cause hypoglycemia.
How does sugar affect sleep patterns?
Since sugar tends to affect the insulin levels, if they're fluctuating too much, will interfere with sleep patterns, and you'll wake up throughout the night to go to the bathroom, and you'll have dry mouth, etc.
What other harms does sugar addiction create, such as anxiety, depression, tendency to overdo the use of prescription drugs, and so on?
Well, being addicted to any substance is not healthy and can lead to, like you said, depression, weight gain, reduced quality of life. So you have to modify your diet, which is easy. You know, they could get a free week's worth on mynamedprogram.com of a diet that would help them with a sugar addiction, even though it's meant for other addictions, but it would work perfect. But they have to modify the diet to have low sugar fruits, vegetables, quality proteins, and healthy fats. But then they should meet with a therapist to establish a game plan for the real behavior modification that they need.
What kind of a therapist should they go see?
They have therapists that specialize in what they call food disorders or addictions. I work with one here in Georgia. His name's Mike Reese, and he specializes in more drug and alcohol addictions, but they're pretty easy to find, and you could find.
So is it a psychiatrist, a psychologist, or what?
Either.
Okay.
You know, and some of them don't. They could just be a therapist that's doing it, and they're under the guidance of a psychiatrist or a psychologist.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to say about this subject?
Well, sugar is very misleading, and it's extremely addicting. And you could read a lot of articles that'll say it's addicting more than many drugs. But I think it also makes it easier to get addicted to drugs because the opiate receptors are stimulated. So it's something you really want to watch, and it's a big, huge problem in this country. It's what's caused the obesity and the diabetes epidemic.
What age group is most at risk?
Well, when we're younger, although that's when you may get into the habits, you're still more active, so you're burning up a lot of the calories. But as soon as you reach middle age and older, the risks rise drastically because we are less active. And then it builds up, and then we start getting the actual weight gain. The weight gain causes things like diabetes type 2 and other diseases. But if you read and study on it, sugar increases, and actually being overweight increases almost every disease there is, even cancer. So you want to be really careful. Say that again?
Ban sugar, huh?
Well, you can't do that because, you know, I'm not a big believer in bans, but if you took the time to truly explain to the people what it does, you'd get a decent percentage more of the people to not use it as much and to read the labels and stuff. But between our labeling laws, big lobbies, and the big food companies, they put it in everything because it makes it taste better.
Let me ask you this. Let's say I had a relative who is now deceased who used to drink, oh gosh, I can't even remember. I'm going to say it, you know, a full, whatever it is, 6 or 12 pack of Pepsi a day. Suppose somebody is just so hyped on the sweet drinks. How would they taper off? Like every other drink?
In between, so like do what we do with alcohol. In between every soda, have a full glass of water.
Yeah.
Especially with a little lime and lemon in it to make it a slightly higher, you know, pH, and that'll slowly taper you off of the sodas.
Okay, so then your therapist can work with you to determine other ways to cope with.
Yeah, you know, they call it behavior modification, but other ways to do it. Like exercise, of course, is a good way, and things of that nature, even meditating, and certain things that I don't do myself, but I do exercise a lot.
Okay.
And that helps.
Great. All right, let me transcribe this interview, and if I have questions, can I email you? I don't think I have your email anymore.
I just emailed you.
That's right.
Yes, I say you have. But I'll give it to you.
Yeah.
It's Keith, K-E-I-T-H, at dr, for doctor, keithcantor.com. And the website, if they want that free week of menus,
right,
is at namedprogram.com. You know, www.namedprogram.com. N-A-M-E-D, program, P-R-O-G-R-A-M.com. And that'll give it to them.
I think there was one other question I had for you now. What the heck was it? Oh, if I'm going to refer to you right after your name, what do you want me to say?
Good looking.
Now, just give me a Dr. Keith Cantor, comma.
Oh, CEO of Name Program.
Okay.
You didn't like my other one? I thought that was a good answer.
Yeah, that was excellent. All right, I will transcribe this, and I thank you so much for being so willing to give me your time.
Oh, no problem. It's always a pleasure, Suzanne. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.